Our next preacher, again, is a Texan. So Alabama, there's 3-1. Let us win something sometime, man. Let us win something. He's a graduating senior from the Arlington Baptist College. Grew up as a preacher's kid, and he had one question that he always was asked: did he want to be a preacher? And he said no, he wanted to be a filmmaker. So we have a filmmaking preacher here today. In 2011, his family started the Journey Church in Fort Worth, Texas, and they're still there today. And he transferred to ABC and began to pursue the calling. And he said he's truly blessed to be serving in God's hands, and glad that He would use him to further His kingdom. And something special here today, I just asked him because I saw him sitting with a lovely lady next to him, and he said that they are engaged, and her name is Hillary. All right. So ladies and gentlemen, our next presenter, I bring to you from Arlington Baptist College, Mr. DJ Foster.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I will admit, I am nervous beyond belief, but I'll tell you what. But you know what? When I was asked to do this, I was told, be encouraging and be uplifting. I'm going to try to do that. So turn your Bibles to Psalms 100. Psalm 100. I'm going old school. I'm going Old Testament. Here's what Psalms 100 says. We're going to read those five verses real quick. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. This is an uplifting passage. See, we see some amazing truths about God throughout these five verses. And I think this passage of Scripture, it really teaches us several important lessons about how Christians, how the church, should live their lives. But mostly we see how great our God is and how much He loves us. In fact, the overall passage is about how God's love endures forever. And by examining each verse, we can see just how much our God loves us and is active in our lives. Would you please pray with me for just a moment? God, I thank You that I have the opportunity to come here to this church. Thank You for the congregation and the multiple guests that are here. God, I thank You for what Jesus did for us on the cross so long ago, and how evident it is still in our lives today. God, I pray that You would be with me and to remove my words, but bring Your words only in this next few minutes. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's get right to it. If we look at one verse at a time, we can see the amount of joy. If we look at verse 1, we can see the amount of joy that's expressed by the psalmist here. In fact, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible for one simple reason. God did not give me the ability to sing. I'm going to tell you that right now. I cannot sing. In fact, He knew I couldn't sing, so He said, I'm going to let Him play drums. So I play drums. I do okay sometimes, right, Bosch? I do okay sometimes. But you know what? That's an awesome part of getting to serve God, is that we don't have to just sing. It didn't even say sing to the Lord right away. It says make a joyful noise. Because we all know that if I was singing, nobody would show up for the worship service on Sunday. They'd skip right on and go on to the preaching. They would. I guarantee it. But the picture here is when we are making joyful noises to the Lord, He is given honor and praise. This reminds me of a story of Paul and Silas in the jail. One of our brothers mentioned this just a few minutes ago. It's over in Acts chapter 16. You don't have to go there if you don't want to. But if you'll remember, they've been thrown in jail because they called a demon out of a fortune teller. And that led to her owners, because she was a slave, losing their income that they would have gained from her. But what do they do when they're in prison? What do Paul and Silas do once they get to prison? Here's what it says. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was an earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. in the middle of their situation, God sent rescue for them. And because of that great moment, this led to this, that it just so happened that an entire household would come to Christ. They would be saved because of the testimony of Paul and Silas there in that prison. And no doubt there'd be joy too. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a real hard time singing in general, because whatever the bad times are. In fact, I'd have a hard time singing if I was locked up in jail. I don't know how Paul and Silas did it, but they saw that Christ was being put on display, and they had faith that his steadfast love would come through for them. They were just giving so much honor back to God, and their joyful noises is what just led to that. That is so encouraging to me. It's a command that we should also be using there in Psalm 100. But it doesn't end at Psalm 100 and verse 1. Look at verse 2. It says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence and sing." Have you ever been so glad to serve God that all you're doing is you're just singing along, you're doing your thing, and just going? There's a good man who has been a part of the staff at Arlington Baptist College. His name is Woody Cash. All the ABC folks in the room know who Woody Cash is. He is known for randomly singing for absolutely no reason. Other than the fact that he is fully putting his joy for God on display. He'll go across campus doing whatever it is, whatever he does. I have no idea what he does half the time, but he will sing his way all the way along the way. And it reminded me of something I once heard about an idea of serving God. He was put in this way. Would you be willing to trade a lifetime of laboring for the Lord for an eternity of ruling and reigning with Jesus? This man, Woody Cash, has put that on display. I'm not talking about Woody Cash, but we're going to talk about God. As the passage goes on, we see even more about him. We see more about God. In fact, verse 3 tells us to know who God is. But how can we know who God is? We know who God is through his word, but not only through simply reading it, but believing in it and wrestling with its concepts and trying to understand what it is that is being said throughout those words. See, knowing God is much more than believing. He is there. It's putting your faith in him completely. In fact, the psalmist tells us that God is the one who created us. Thanks to the creation account in Genesis, we know how God made everything and how he was putting all that on display at the very beginning. And the psalmist even goes on to say that we belong to God. We are his. Everything we have belongs to God. It should. It's our service to him. And our very being belongs to him as well. That makes this idea of serving so much greater, because we're actually putting what God made for us to do on this earth on display. In fact, I've had the opportunity to get to teach and preach to our students at our church, and I tell them all the time, when you get saved, God gives you a job. And that job is to go tell people about Jesus. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to sing on stage, but God gave you that opportunity to tell people. And because you know how to do it, doesn't matter who you tell, as long as you do it. So as we go on into verse 4, we get this greater point. See, we know so far that we can sing to God. We can serve the Lord. We find joy in him, and he created us. Because he created us and gives us everything, what should we be? What does verse 4 tell us we should be? We should be thankful. Verse 4 tells us to enter his gates with thanksgiving. In fact, we should enter into prayer with a sense of thanksgiving, first and foremost. I get selfish sometimes, y'all. I know you do too, because you ain't perfect either. But I'll tell you what, I get selfish. In fact, coming up here to preach today, I was like, God, you better make me not say nothing stupid, because I've got a bunch of people up here. I'm not about to go and make a fool of myself. But you know what? I realized, oh, what are you preaching about? I'm preaching about being thankful. And I'm so thankful that God has done what he's done in my life. It goes on in verse 4, it says, to bless his name too. Now, we use this phrase so often, but do we really understand what it means to bless his name? Yeah. Blessing his name simply means to speak about God's goodness and his greatness. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that we do serve a great and good God. We should be thankful for the greatness that God pours out on us. And because of his greatness, we should turn all of our praise back to him. Ladies, y'all did a fantastic job up here leading us in that. Taking me back long ways, back when I was a kid, I loved it. That was good stuff. Because of his greatness, we should turn all that praise back to him. But why should we do that? Well, verse 5 tells us. It says, for the Lord is good. As I've already said many times just over the last few minutes, we have a good, good Father in heaven. He loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for us, that we could enter into those holy gates someday. His steadfast love endures forever, as it goes on to say in that verse. Some of us have a hard time believing that, as I mentioned. But it's true. You know, I think that even Paul and Silas, when they were locked up, They knew that God's love would prevail. That's why they were singing, very simply. They knew God's love would prevail. They may have not known that they were going to see an entire family get saved, but it happened. God worked through their situation in that way, and God's love was shown through it. Even in their patience and endurance there in that prison, it was still there. Not only does the steadfast love endure forever, but so does his faithfulness to all the generations. See, God kept that promise. His faithfulness and his love to us was kept. He sent Jesus for that very reason, to show forth that promise. See, if we were to go all the way back to the book of Genesis and see the story of Abraham and Isaac and that sacrifice there on the mountaintop, we're familiar with it. Abraham took his son Isaac up on top of the mountain. They built the altar. And then he picked up his son and he laid him on top of the altar. And just before he was about to be slain, an angel called from him and said, "Abraham, don't do it. There's a lamb caught in the bush. Go sacrifice it." Guys, that is exactly what Jesus did. He was the man who was laid on the altar, and he was the lamb who was sacrificed. It's such a great and powerful truth that we see for that. In fact, he is faithful to forgive, and he is mighty to save. In fact, as I close, I went fast. I was told I had 15 minutes. I'm going to get 15 minutes. But in fact, as I close, here's what I want us to do. I want to leave you with this. Leave here knowing you are loved. There's a God in heaven that loves you. Jesus wouldn't have come if that wasn't the case. Leave here showing love to others. We live in a broken world. Turn on the news, you see it. You don't even have to turn on the news. You can get on Twitter and see it. It's there. There's hate in the world, and we need to show love to those people. Leave here with a thankful heart. As I mentioned, I'm selfish. I know you are too. I had to think about whether or not I was going to eat that red velvet cake. Didn't need it. It was a little bit of a selfish moment for me. Be thankful for the things that God gives us. Be thankful for the fact that we have his word in our hands, that we can use it and tell others about Christ. Leave here with the confidence that there is a guy on high who is mighty to save. As we close in prayer, because I like to end with prayer, I want you to pray for these things that we've just mentioned. Look into your heart. Look in to see what it is that God wants you to pray for. God loves it when we're in his word and he blesses us for it. He loves it when we're praying to him. Pray that God will work through you and that you will show love where it is needed. So as we